VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today for a very important program on Crosstalk. It should come as no surprise to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are a nation in turmoil. We're a nation with sharp divisions. We're a nation that, well, we've turned our back on God in so many different areas. And while we have religious liberty in our land, while we have churches spread from coast to coast, although we have access to Bibles, many times multiple Bibles in our homes and access to Bible study materials, although we have Christian radio and Christian television and podcasts available to us upon demand, it's as if there's a spiritual famine in our land. Where is the revival? Where are people turning to Christ? Where are people repenting of their sins? Where are people calling out to God? Where are people sowing the seed of God's word in evangelism? We're convinced this world needs Jesus, and how badly in such a time as this that we need prayer. Our world is facing a pandemic. Our nation has a critical election this fall that will take us one of two directions. We continue to see the morals of our nation in a free fall. The question is, are you praying? Are you seeking God? One of the preachers I so appreciate who is now with the Lord is Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said this, and it's worth noting. He said, the greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Today we'll be speaking with an individual who is calling our nation to prayer. His name is Dr. James Maxwell III. He has served the Lord full-time since 1965. His ministry has included the pastoring of five different churches in the Midwest, of which I was a member of one of those churches. He was the state representative for the Wisconsin Association of Regular Baptist Churches, the past president of Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary. He's now retired, but continues to faithfully serve the Lord in his church and ministering in churches across the state of Florida. Dr. Maxwell, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Brother Snyder. It's a delight to be with you.
You, along with a fellow retired pastor, are launching an initiative called the 100-Day Prayer Challenge. Now, we're going to learn about the details a little bit later, but how did this idea come about?
Well, Dr. Manley and I walk together most mornings of the week. And one day on our walk, he asked me, in the light of the divisive situation in Washington and in the light of COVID-19, do you see a move in a general sense of people to seek the Lord? And I had to tell him I hadn't seen any signs of that. And so we began wondering why Christian leaders weren't calling believers to prayer. At least we hadn't heard of any that were at that point. And so after waiting for several weeks for somebody to do it, we asked the Lord if perhaps he would have us to be the ones to call people to prayer.
Why do you believe prayer is so critical?
Well, in the first place, because God has commanded it. And there are numerous places in the Bible where we're commanded to pray for our governmental leaders, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, the Bible says. And then, second, because it's effective. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we, as you pointed out in your opening commentary, certainly need prayer.
Yeah. Some ask the question, if God is all-powerful, and we know he is, and if his decrees are going to come to pass, why then do we need to pray?
That's a classic question that's often asked, and I think a good question. My answer to that has always been, because God commands it, and because he's promised to honor our prayers, that when we will pray in Jesus' name, when we pray with hearts that are prepared and we're walking in the light, he's promised to pray or to answer our prayers. So that's reason enough to figure the logic in the mind of God is above my pay grade, I'm afraid.
Why are so many Christians neglecting the use of this tool that God has given to us? Why aren't we praying? What's keeping us from prayer?
I frankly think it's busyness and distractions with other things. For many years, even as a pastor, I found myself praying far less than I intended to. And I finally became so convicted by it that I made a commitment to God that I would pray no less than a half hour a day. And I would like to challenge others to do the same thing, because it made a difference in my life, and I've kept that commitment for about 30 years now.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned the importance of praying for our government leaders, and sometimes people find that easy when there is somebody they agree with in certain positions, but very difficult when people are in those positions they don't agree with. But the Scripture doesn't differentiate between those two groups, does it?
It certainly doesn't. As a matter of fact, when Paul instructed the believers in Ephesus, I believe it was, to pray for, or in Rome, actually, to pray for their leaders, the leaders at that time in Rome were anything but friendly to Christianity.
What does God's Word instruct us in the matter of prayer? You said God tells us to do it. What, you've got some verses on prayer itself that would be good for our listeners to know.
Absolutely. Admittedly, this was directed toward Israel, but the language of it is not Israel-specific. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And then Paul instructed Timothy to lead people to pray for all who are in authority. He said, "I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior."
Dr. James Maxwell III with us here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing the 100-Day Prayer Challenge. Now, you quoted just a bit ago from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, and so often I'll hear people quote that verse and say, well, if we pray, God will hear and answer. But there are some important aspects of that verse, and many times people will leave out the phrase about humbling ourselves and also leave out that phrase, turn from their wicked ways. But these are two critical aspects, are they not?
They are. I began a number of years ago to jot in one of my Bibles the conditions that God places on answering our prayers. And you have just mentioned one of the critical ones, and that is we have to be walking in the light and have confessed our sins, because the Bible says that God won't hear the prayers of people who aren't right with Him.
We know we're living in critical times. I mean, it is alarming for many to turn on the nightly newscast or to open the pages of a paper or search news sites on the Internet. How should we be praying in such times?
Well, first of all, I think we ought to be praying much. Second, I believe we ought to be praying in concert with other believers. And that's why we have begun this prayer challenge, mm-hmm. this 100-day prayer challenge. Also, I believe we ought to pray with a level of specificity. I got an email this morning from a friend who said, now, the website for this prayer challenge doesn't give any specific requests, and that will be coming as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do need to pray for specific leaders. I believe we need to pray that God will bring them to faith in Christ. The Bible goes on in that 1 Timothy chapter 2 passage to say, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we ought to be praying for the conversion of our governmental leaders if they don't know Christ as Savior.
Dr. Maxwell, as we talk about this, you were walking with a friend, a fellow pastor on daily walks, and just pondering about this matter of prayer, how badly we need it as a nation, who's launching such an initiative, and you said, here am I, send me. And so the two of you together with others are launching this right now. Tell us about the 100-day prayer challenge.
Well, we decided that the goal would be to get 1 million people to pray for 100 days. Now, originally, we had hoped that would start on August the 1st, but the development of the website took longer than we had hoped. Unrealistically, I might say, we had hoped. But we knew that even starting with August the 1st, 100 days would take us past November the 2nd, mm-hmm. which is Election Day. But I said to my friend Don Manley, I said, there will be recounts. So even the election part of this can certainly extend beyond November the 2nd.
Actually, it's November 3rd, the election.
November 3rd. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the correction. So that we'll be going later into November. But that's the goal. We have formed a website. People can go on that and sign up to pray for our government, for the election, and especially also for COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
that God would intervene in these areas according to his will.
Give us that website address, if you would.
Surely. It's www.100dayprayer.com.
And let me repeat that. That's 100, that's numerics, 100dayprayer.com. What will one see when they go to that site?
Well, there's a little introductory page that tells, in brief, what I have just said to you regarding mm-hmm. the formation of it. Then there is that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And on the third page, there is a place to sign up. I do need to say, and I wish I didn't have to say this, that some people have had problems signing up. If a person has Facebook, it is easier on Facebook, but you can even get there, I believe, from the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clicking on some of the buttons, you can get there to Facebook. Does it have a separate Facebook address?
I do not know that.
Okay.
I believe it's the 100-day prayer challenge, if there is.
Great. And again, folks, you can go to the website 100dayprayer.com. That's numerics, 100dayprayer.com. And in there, you can put your name and address and email address, and you will be sending out updated prayer requests and encouraging people to come together for prayer.
That's right. We're committed to all of those who sign up on the website. We're going to send an email to them each week with updates.
Okay, we'll come back to that after the break. Dr. James Maxwell III with us here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing the 100-Day Prayer Challenge. Friends, this is something you need to be involved in, and we'll tell you more about it after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in total, how many animal species have been found in the fossil record?
You know, Chris, the answer to this question surprised me. Evolutionists are fond of talking about millions and millions of fossil animal types, but in reality, only about 250,000 fossil species have ever been found. That's far fewer than the number of species that are still existing today. And it certainly is not many compared to the millions and billions of animals which must have existed if evolution were true. What we find in the fossil record are clams and snails and coral, the very same kind of animals that are alive today. Face it, Chris, evolution didn't happen. It's not happening today, and it didn't happen in the past, as recorded in the fossils. What happened is creation, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Today, our discussion, the 100-Day Prayer Challenge. With us is James Maxwell III. He is a retired pastor, retired from a Bible college presidency, but very active in serving the Lord right now in churches in the state of Florida and in his own local church, who he, along with another retired pastor, have been burdened to get this nation praying. It's something that we have talked about often on this program, reminding you to be praying for our nation and praying specifically for the upcoming November 3rd election. And as Dr. Maxwell pointed out, we're less than 100 days to the election, but he hit the nail on the head. This election, I mean, there are stories coming across the nation saying, don't expect results election night. There are going to be recounts. And folks, you know what's going on in the mail service taking place right now. And prayer will be so needed even after the official November 3rd date. So get engaged in prayer. Now, as I mentioned, as we're going into the break, I said, listeners, you need to be involved in this. And I'm speaking to myself with that, too. Matter of fact, I took time this morning to get signed up so I can be connected to this. And I'd like to encourage you to do so as well. Dr. Maxwell, this is something that it doesn't matter if we are of retirement age, if we're a teenager, doesn't matter if we're confined to our homes. Prayer is something all of us can do.
Amen to that. We can and we should. Jeremiah said, quoted God as saying, call unto me and I will answer thee and will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I've seen so many times when God did not only the improbable, but for all human observations, the impossible when people prayed.
Amen. And answers to prayer are amazing as we see God at work. I noticed on the website there are various buttons like connect with others, meeting locations, discussion points, prayer rooms. Tell us about these.
Yes, it is our goal. There are two buttons you can push that says I would like to start a prayer group or I would like to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday, one lady told me that she had joined a group already that another lady had started. So there's some resources that we can get to people for starting a prayer group. But I believe there is a list on one of the pages of a few of those resources.
Mm-hmm.
But we have more that we can send. So if they'll let us know, we will certainly give them some help in starting a prayer group.
Now, friends, again, just remember, this project has just literally been launched on the website as we continue this countdown toward the election and thereafter. It's just literally been launched. There's more to come, but the key aspect is getting signed up now, getting in your email address, your name, your address if you wish to, but just your name and email is what's required. There's other information boxes there you can fill out, but again, the website to go to is 100dayprayer.com, 100dayprayer.com. Now, Dr. Maxwell, I know we have people who live in rural areas. They're not connected to the Internet. We hear from some senior saints who tell us, I don't have one of them computers. Is there a way for them to participate?
Absolutely, and I would invite them to write to me at my address in Naples, Florida, and we will get all the information to them that they would find helpful. My address is 6941 6941 Appleby, that's spelled APPLEBY Drive, Naples, Florida, 34104. And we would be delighted to answer everybody who writes to us.
Okay, so if you do not have online access, you want to participate and being a prayer warrior, being one of those 1 million individuals to commit to this nation and the election in prayer, you can just drop a letter. I'm going to repeat the address. So some of you were scrambling for a piece of paper to write down. You can send it to Dr. James Maxwell III. That's 100-Day Prayer Challenge, 100-Day Prayer Challenge, 6941 Appleby Drive. That's APPLEBY Drive, Naples, Florida, and the zip code is 34104. Now, I know many of you saying, yes, I agree, we need to pray, but how many of you are willing to commit yourself to praying daily for this election and praying for this nation up to Election Day and beyond? As I mentioned, I signed up this morning, and I suggest you do as well. How can we expect great things from God if we don't pray? How can we expect God to do a work in our nation if we don't petition Him for it? How can we expect change when we ourselves are not willing to change and surrender ourselves to the Lord? And Dr. Maxwell, that's often the case where we're expecting God to do something, but we're not willing to commit ourselves in prayer.
Yes. I recall as a young man, I used to think, well, if I fail God on this, they're the great giants of the faith that will do it. But do you know that gets passed on from generation to generation, and we all need to get involved from our youngest days and be prayer warriors.
Indeed. And you're also asking for God to intervene in the COVID-19 pandemic. Share your heart on this.
Absolutely, yes. This is unprecedented. As a matter of fact, walking with the same friend one day, I asked him, can you remember a time other than Noah's flood where an event affected the entire globe? And we couldn't think of a time. Now, there may have been other pandemics or plagues through history that affected the entire globe, but this is the first one I'm aware of since Noah's flood. And so it's a major thing, and we know people. Now, not directly, but we know people who have passed away from this pandemic. And so it's a serious thing, and the effect on the economy will probably be felt for years. But God can use these things to bring people to the realization that He's the one that's in charge, and that's what we're praying for.
Are you praying for this pandemic to be eradicated?
We are, yes. But in the meantime, that God would use it to accomplish His purposes. And He is certainly the one that's in charge. He raises kings up and puts them down. And many of the things he does for the reason he expressed in Daniel 4:17, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will.
Amen.
And setteth up over it the basest of men.
Dr. Maxwell, is God obligated to answer the prayers the way that we want?
No, certainly not. Somebody said God can answer prayers in one of three ways. He can either say yes, no, or wait.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to pray in God's will, and that's one of the reasons. And by the way, this ministry is nonpartisan and apolitical. We're not praying that God will put our candidate in office, but that He will put His candidate in office. And we're not talking just about the presidency, but every office that's up for election this November. And we want to make sure we're following Him, not demanding of Him.
That sounds like Jesus' prayer in the garden where He said, not my will, but thine be done.
Absolutely.
Hmm. We're talking with Dr. James Maxwell III today, a 100-day prayer challenge. Again, friends, we encourage you to sign up and participate. We say so often we're a nation in need of prayer. We need change in our nation. Are you willing to commit yourselves to be praying daily? 100dayprayer.com is the website. And friends, frankly, I'm hoping that there are thousands that listen to this program that will sign up and say, yes, I'm willing to commit. I believe in my heart we need prayer. Friends, the importance of prayer is for us here. We see God's word directing us to pray, to pour out our hearts before God. And here is a means to go about doing that, 100dayprayer.com. Again, 100 is in numerics, 100. 100dayprayer.com, where you can sign up, and you'll be receiving prayer updates. And it's that reminder to be praying daily here for the election, be praying for our nation, be praying for this pandemic as well, this COVID-19 pandemic. And certainly it is a critical time here for our nation. Dr. Maxwell, some also inquire and have called into this program about not just prayer, but fasting, that we need to be fasting too. Is fasting an appropriate action?
I certainly believe that it is. When Jesus was asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees, he said, as long as the bridegroom is with the bridal party, that's not appropriate for them to fast, but the day will come when he's taken away, and then they will fast. I believe today fasting is a much neglected biblical teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the great, great events of the past where God turned the events as a result of his people seeking him were accompanied by fasting. I think of two in particular. One is when Esther had been challenged by Mordecai to go in and talk with the Persian king to spare the Jewish people that Haman had conspired to have killed. She asked Mordecai to get all of God's people to fast. Now, we take by it or from that that included prayer, but they had to fast. And then I think, too, of Jonah when he confronted the people of Nineveh about their wickedness and said that God would destroy their city, the king called for a fast. And in both cases, God turned that situation around. So I definitely believe that fasting is appropriate.
Hmm. Well, what is your hope for this project, the Wonder Day Prayer?
It, first of all, is that by the end of the 100 days, the COVID-19 virus would be on its way out, and clearly that we would see a cure from God. Second, that we would have godly people placed in high offices around this world. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when the wicked are in authority, it's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be my desires. I would like to see godly people elected to office and people that would lead this country in the way of the Lord rather than contrary to him.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, and we'd like to hear what you think on this project. Are you willing to commit? Are you saying a hearty amen to this project? Or you want to sign up? Maybe you've got a question on this topic of prayer and praying for our nation and our leaders here in our nation. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Such a critical issue today, friends. Such a critical need. Your reaction to it today, 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Islam is on the rise all over the West, including America. In his compelling book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, author Erwin Lutzer believes that we have reached a tipping point. The spread of Islam is impacting the way we live, and this advancement of Islam poses a threat to our freedoms of speech and religion. But he says this time also offers Christians a powerful opportunity to share the gospel. In The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, Dr. Lutzer addresses several important issues, including the agenda that Islamists have for the West, how Islam's growing influence will affect you personally, and what the church should be doing in response. He also gives a reminder that ultimately, the enduring truth of the cross will prevail. Copies of the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, are available for a donation of $17 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829 during regular office hours. Again, that number, toll-free, is 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. James Maxwell. And folks, faced with this dangerous and stubborn COVID-19 pandemic, and with fewer than 100 days until a very divisive election, two retired Florida pastors are calling for 1 million people to pledge to pray for 100 days that God will intervene in these critical matters. Will you be one of them? Will you be one of them? You may sign up at 100dayprayer.com. 100dayprayer.com. A reminder that 100 is the numerics, 100day.prayer.com. And Dr. Maxwell, if a family is going to get involved, you can have the husband sign up and the wife sign up, and even the young people sign up too. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, we would like to know each individual. You know, in some ways, we had thought about having whole churches sign up, but the individual commitments are so important, I believe.
Yes, and so sign up. If you're doing it collectively as a family, each individual can sign up. Friends, we want to see thousands sign up as a result of Crosstalk today. We talk about prayer. It's necessity for our land today. Are you willing to commit? Let's go to the phone lines. We have Jan calling in from Royal, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jan.
Hey, can you sign up my 91-year-old husband and me on Dr. Maxwell's list? Because we do not have internet because I'm blind.
Sure.
But I'd like to tell him and tell you and the listeners that 40 years ago, I surrendered my worldly life. And reading the Bible over and over, and have discovered a little secret that at night when we have insomnia, this is a call to worship. Sometimes night after night we'll be praying 2 or 3 hours for every federal, state, county, city, township employee, and all of you guys on BCY and all Christians in the world, all leaders in the world. We're to pray for love our enemies and pray for these people too. So we all have time to pray.
Amen. Dr. Maxwell, Jan here, I mean, she brought up a great point about praying during those night watches.
Amen. Amen. I always felt that there were one of two reasons. Of course, some are physiological, but one of two reasons why we could be awake. Either God wanted us to pray or Satan wants to trouble us. And in either case, prayer is the answer.
Yeah. Jan, now, were you able to get the address or have somebody write down that address for you?
My husband wrote it down, and we'll send a letter to Pastor Maxwell.
Wonderful.
But I also want to say that if we do pray, we need to first humble ourselves.
Yes.
When I totally surrendered even my appetite, thirst, lust, and free will to God 40 years ago, He's answered my prayers. My cancer healed. I haven't been sick. I even had a headache for 40 days, 40 years of perfect health.
God bless you, Jan. Thank you for the call.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And friends, if you miss the address, we'll give that to you again, so be ready to jot that down for those who don't have internet access, okay? Let's go to Michael in Foley, Alabama. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the program you had, and so needed today in the body of Christ. Jan pretty well hit it at the end that I wanted to comment on. I believe as the body of Christ, we need to allow God to search our hearts. We need to repent before God. Then He can answer our prayers. I personally did that a few weeks back because I felt a slothfulness in my own spiritual walk and allowing God to use me in this troubled times that we are living in.
Yes.
And we must also be bold enough to go outside the walls of the church to be a witness and to a light to those that are in darkness. How can the world really see Christ unless we get out the walls of the church and get out of our comfort zone and allow the world to see Christ? And because they're only going to see Christ through us. And that's my comment. I just really want to encourage the body of Christ to truly seek the Lord, repent of our sins, and go out to be a witness of who He is.
Thank you, Michael.
God bless everyone.
Thank you for your call. Pastor, what a verse came to mind as he was talking, he said, and I'm thinking of Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." That's where things begin, is it not?
Amen. It certainly is. That's great. You may recall that we were in a church together where we went through a time of trial.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a full year emphasizing seeking the Lord.
Yes.
Every Sunday morning there was a call to worship about seeking the Lord. That turned that situation around, and the next year was the best year of my ministry, I think.
Jane is calling from Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Jane.
Yes, I'd like to say that, like this lady that shared that her 91-year-old husband, she was wonderful, the divine lady, and I'm also 90, but a pretty risky 90 yet. And I belong to several small women's groups here in Pensacola, but we don't meet on a daily basis. But I'm so inspired by this call to daily prayer, this 100-day prayer. I'm so invested in the outcome of this election for the health of the whole nation, country. And I intend to share this 100-day prayer challenge with these various groups and get us all on board.
Tremendous.
With this. Thank you so much for sharing this with us and giving us this opportunity. And I will issue the call to repentance before prayer, because I certainly believe in that.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you for your call from Pensacola. And Dr. Maxwell, this is what we need our listeners to do. That is, just as she expressed, I'm going to take this information and share it with others. And we need people to get this out through their social media, through from email, Facebook, whatever it may be, to push this out. This interview will be up on our website within a couple hours. They can send out copies of this. But to call people to prayer and to share this information.
It's the principle of multiplication, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So friends, take what you've learned today. Don't keep it to yourself. Yes, take it to your churches and have others in your Sunday school classes and services. Sign up your small groups, your Bible study groups. Let's go to Arnold in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity. I wanted to say just about the same things that your other callers have said. It's really important that we add fasting to the prayer, but most importantly, that we humble ourselves. Yeah. Our attitude is the most critical factor there, and accept the Lord's will, whatever that might be.
Right.
But, of course, we know that is the most important aspect of it, and also to share the word with others, too. I think it is vitally important that we do that expansion, that multiplication factor, and tell others to join in, too. We know that...
Right.
Second Chronicles is true, and that the Lord will provide.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Arnold. We've got Valerie calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air, Valerie.
Yes, sir. I think it's a wonderful idea that the churches get together and pray and everything, but election day for our president is less than 64 days. So I want to know, what can we do immediately? We have pastors going to jail because they're deciding that I'd rather serve God than man. And it's messing with our amendment. We should have freedom of speech and separation of church and state. So I was very concerned about not what we should be doing and what we should have been doing all along, but what can we do right now? And in some ways, it's an easy way for church leaders to hide by just saying, let's get together and pray. But in less than 64 days...
Yeah, no, it's actually... You're going to have to recount that, Valerie. It's actually many more days than that. We're less than 100, but more than what you're stating there. But we indeed do need to come together for prayer. The call today, Dr. Maxwell, if I have it correct, is you're calling for individuals to daily spend this time with God.
Yes, yes, that's right. And I can fully relate to what Valerie is saying. But, Valerie, never discount the power of prayer. It's not that prayer itself is powerful, but it connects us with the most powerful God in the universe.
Amen. Thank you, Valerie. You've raised some good points. We appreciate that. So often, friends, we'll use prayer as a spare tire. We bring it out only in cases of emergency. Folks, it's now. Prayer should be the very aspect of our being day after day. Let's go to Mitchell, South Dakota next. David, you're on the air.
I think that it's important to multiply ourselves by getting permission from pastors that we can remind them when we're praying for them and get permission from various people, and then send out an email or a text message when we pray, because we can multiply the number of people that are praying when we remind them to pray regularly. I've been sending out text messages every week for the last several years to a number of pastors, and I get replies back regularly that it's a great benefit to them to know someone's praying for them as they preach or prepare to preach. And if my people, who are called by my name, we need to be leaning heavily on the pastors, the teachers, and the church leaders, and reminding them to pray and sending an email or a text message regularly is a great way to multiply your prayer efforts.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much for your call here today. Dr. Maxwell, I know, as I'm sure you've experienced in ministry, as we do here as well, the great encouragement that comes when somebody says, "I'm praying for you." I mean, it
is
right. Really a blessing.
That is music to my ears whenever somebody tells me that.
Yeah.
Throughout my ministry, there have been people who've said, "I pray for you daily," and that means even more.
Yeah. Bridgeport, West Virginia, we have Al calling in. Hi, Al, you're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for taking my call today. And, listen, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. It's important. And you need to pray all the time, not just when things are bad.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pray for things that are when you're doing well, just all the time. And the most important thing, in order to get your prayer to work, you better pray it in the name of Jesus, because that's the only way it works.
Thank you, Al. Pastor, Dr. Maxwell, comment on that. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? What does that mean? Is it just some kind of secret formula, or why do we do that?
No, it certainly is more than that. But Jesus commanded us to pray in his name. The promises are based on that. But the theology behind it is that Jesus made the avenue to God possible. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple in Jerusalem was rent in twain from top to bottom. The book of Hebrews tells us that was God manifesting that we had access to him through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ.
Friends, I'm going to give you now that address again, as well as the website, and then we'll be picking up calls right after our next break. The website address to sign up is 100dayprayer.com. 100, that's numerics, 100, 100dayprayer.com. If you don't have internet access, you want to participate, just drop a letter to Dr. James Maxwell at 6941 Appleby Drive. That's APPLEBY. Appleby Drive, Naples, Florida, and the zip code 34104. 34104. We'll try to get all this information in our final segment as well, and we have callers lined up that will be taking your calls. Our number is 800-733-9829. Again, friends, the question is, we talk about the need for prayer, but are you willing to do it? Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. As you know, I interviewed Pastor Rob McCoy of the Calvary Chapel Church in Ventura County that has had a court hearing and going to have more about contempt of court charges for holding his church service. Well, here's an update. He came back on our radio show this week, and the court date has been pushed off by a couple days. But listen, folks, there was actually talk of sending in sheriff deputies to shut down the church and make sure it could not open, going so far as to send in armed sheriff deputies to do whatever was necessary to make sure this church did not open again. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like the kind of thing you'd expect in communist China or formerly behind the Iron Curtain. Thankfully, that's not happening right now. They'll have church this Sunday, but we need to continue to pray for Pastor Rob and his church, because he's standing for churches across America. Because, as one has said, what happens in California, well, so goes the rest of the nation if we're not careful.
It's a 100-day prayer challenge. Folks, if ever there's a time that we needed prayer, it is now. Are you willing to come along and join in daily prayer? Pray in regard to this pandemic that we're in right now, and we think of the election coming up as well. And as we stated prior, two retired pastors calling for 1 million people across this nation to pray that God will intervene in these critical matters. This project has just been launched. The website is still under development, but you can still get there. Sign up at the 100dayprayer.com. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Let's go back to the state of West Virginia, Wheeling, West Virginia. Tony is calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Everything that we do in the course of a day is scheduled. We get up, we have breakfast, it's time for lunch, it's time for dinner. So why not set a particular time during the day? For example, I wake up and have coffee, and then I read scripture, and that's my time for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's on my day sheet. Every day in my journal, I have a day sheet that shows me what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
So if we schedule, we take the time to schedule it, we will do it.
Bad, great.
God bless you and
thank
all
you,
your work. Thank you.
Dr. Max will comment on that very aspect.
Yes, I think he is right on. I used to travel, and I would plan my lunch times to be in a city where I had a restaurant that I especially liked. And I got to thinking one day, why don't I do that with my devotional time?
Mm.
Plan when I'm going to have my devotional time so that it's not what's left at the end of the day, but that it's on the schedule.
How many of you folks listening right now, when you have a medical appointment, what do? You set an alarm on your phone telling you when you need to leave. How about setting an alarm on your phone saying it's time to pray? And this is a good reminder to do that as we approach this 100-day period. Let's go to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Laura is calling you around the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I wanted to share a verse in Ezekiel 22:30, and it says, this is God speaking, and he's saying, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one.
Hmm.
So this is a dire warning. I believe that God does want us definitely to be praying for our cities and our country here in the United States and throughout the world, that his right purposes be done.
Amen. Thank you, Laura, for sharing that. And Dr. Maxwell, we are calling for people to be that man. We need to be that man.
Yes. Not just one, but a million.
Amen. Danville, Kentucky is next. Alan, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Maxwell. I got some guys come out of Bible study in jail, and one of them stopped me and said, listen, after 5 minutes, my prayers are drying up. So we went to work. We took Eastman's Hour of Prayer and rearranged it, and they sought every scripture they could find that could apply to those 12 different types of prayer. So if there's a way I can get that resource to you, Dr. Maxwell, I'd be happy to do it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Let me give you an email address. It's James 3, the numeral 3, Max, M-A-X, at gmail.com.
Again, that's James, numeric 3, James 3, Max, at gmail.com.
Yes.
And could send that to him. Thank you, Alan, for that. And just before we pick up our next caller, Dr. Maxwell, there are those who feel like that. How can I pray for longer than 5 minutes? They feel like get dried up. How do we avoid that from happening?
That's a good point. And the one these prisoners brought up to our brother, I think the more we pray, the more we will find to pray. I find that a list helps me. And perhaps they could make a list of offices that need to be filled in the land, and even to write to some of our leaders and ask them for prayer requests.
Yes.
I have a friend in India that every new parliament member in his state he calls on, and most of these, of course, are Hindus. But he asks them for their prayer requests.
Right.
And promised to pray for them.
Wow. Anna's calling next from Kansas. Anne, you're on the air.
Hi. I just am so blessed by hearing these people in their 90s being called to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the generation that we still have with us to help these young people who are so lost and angry and just full of hate. And so, bless you all. I'm in my late 60s, and mm-hmm. I've been hoping and praying for this to happen. I don't know why we don't have more churches who are fighting, like the pastor in Ventura County, California, to open up their churches. Every single church should be saying, we want to be back in our churches.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann, for your comment. And we're going to squeeze in, due to time, one more call. Aaron in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, my biggest problem with being a Christian, my biggest struggle in Bach is, how do we pray? What do we say? I mean, do we put a list down? Do we talk like we would talk to a normal friend?
Mm-hmm.
How do we pray?
Thank you, Aaron, for that. Dr. Maxwell.
I believe, Aaron, that's an important thing. And I would pray, first of all, for God's will, but then for the prayer request that God puts in the Scripture. He tells us to pray for our leaders because he wants them to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So we could pray for their salvation. We could pray for godly leaders rather than for the righteous, rather than the wicked to be in authority. And only God knows who the righteous are and who the wicked are.
Hey, Aaron, I'm going to have to interrupt you due to time, but please follow up with Dr. Maxwell with an email in particular, and we'll give out all this contact information, but I'm 30 seconds away from being out of time. Thank you for the call. Let me just say this. Again, folks, the website, 100dayprayer.com, 100dayprayer.com. The address, if you need to write, it's Dr. James Maxwell, 6941 Appleby Drive, Appleby Drive, Naples, Florida, 34104. Just send an email. You may have other questions on prayer. Send it to James3Max, M-A-X, at gmail.com. Dr. Maxwell, thank you, and the fellow pastor there, for putting together such an initiative and calling our nation to prayer.
Thank you, Brother Schneider.
And friends, sign up. Again, we're at a critical time in our nation. I've signed up for this, and I'm encouraging you to do the same as well. Will you join today and do more than talk about our need, but actually be involved? Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from BCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.